In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, which we all know had some issues. I think they got spanked more than just about any of the other ones in the scripture. But he's trying to explain something, and he's repeating what Jesus had told his disciples that night. He said, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you from the Lord Jesus. On the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he took the cup after he had supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. They understood that. The new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You know, a symbol is only as good as it can communicate the truth that needs to become part and assimilated into who you are. We can hear something and it can sound good, but if we never really think about it or really ponder what it's trying to say, it's just a good saying. It's just something that maybe somebody might quote. But he was trying to get into their spirit and what Micah was saying, into their soul, into the thing that really was who they were. They weren't just flesh and blood. They had a soul that was eternal, that really was the thing that made them alive. And so he used a concept of eating, because if something's on a table, it can look beautiful. But until you take part of it, until it becomes and ingested into you, it's just nice. It looks good. It looks appetizing. But until you take it in, it does you no good. It might be pretty, but if you're hungry or you're sick or whatever, or you're thirsty and you're not partaking, is it satisfying or meeting the need of what your body has at that moment? No. So he's trying to use, again, a concrete concept. Jesus came because we were in a situation that we weren't going to make it to heaven like everybody in today's world thinks. We're all destined for heaven. Why? Because we're good people. And Jesus is trying, and he said that day to the rich young ruler, you call me good. There is none good but God. There's none good but God. And so he's using this concept here. He's saying, take and eat. You know, he said this again when he was trying to, you know, Jesus never contradicted himself, and he even gave them a lot of good lectures about this, if you want to say that, as a teacher. He's telling them, he told them this once before. You know, the crowds followed him because they needed something from him. They said, oh, he speaks with authority. They were astounded by all of that. But what they really wanted was the things that he provided. He provided free meals. He provided deliverance and miracles. But when he said something hard that they couldn't understand, that they couldn't accept, it says, and that day, many turned away and left and were no longer followers of Christ. And this was what he said. You are going to have to not just think it's a good saying, it's a good religious practice. No. He said, you're going to have to take it in. And all that entails. And he's saying, I want you to remember this. I want you not to forget what it is that I did and where you were before I did this. Because in your human reasoning, you want to think, well, I'm good. I'm good. And God is saying, by whose standards are you good? And that is where this comes in. This is the blood of the new covenant, the body of the new covenant.
That's what changed.
That's what changed. That's what changed. You know, you love to read those Old Testament stories. I mean, I always get excited, of course, David and Goliath, all the different ones that we love to read and preach from. But you know what? Thank God I live in the new covenant. Thank God I live in it. Thank you, Jesus, that you went to that cross. That I don't care what it is that I have to do all the live long day. I know that I have victory. You have victory. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, when Michael was talking about trust, you know, trust is hard, especially in today's world. But I'm going to tell you, nothing's changed. When did his promise ever fail, as we sang today? No, it never did. It's still here. That's why he put something so concrete. He knew you were going to have to eat every day and that you were going to have to drink every day. He knew you would understand that concept. And then he put this in. He's saying, if there's one thing that I want you to remember, I want you to remember. You know why? Because everything else follows. How can you live for Christ when you remember what he did for you? How can you forgive someone that did that to you? It's an injustice. Hey, it's an injustice here, but God makes it right. And when we trust him that he went with an injustice to the cross of what was done to him in order that we could be made whole, body, soul, and spirit. Because the enemy is always trying to kill every facet of you. And it's one thing, as Jesus said, don't be afraid of someone who can kill your body. Be afraid of somebody who can kill your body and your soul. And that's the thing we have as Christians that we need to start talking about. This is the answer and the fulfillment of everything you're looking for. Everything you're hoping for, everything that you're looking to other people or things or no, it's what he did 2,000 years ago. It's what he did in spite of anything that is quote unquote good in your life and bad. He did it because one reason, he loves you. He loves you. And I don't care who doesn't love you. I hope you hear that today. I don't care who doesn't love you. He loves you, and he has given himself to prove it, because it's not just words. It's not just a formality. He's saying when you take this in, there's a miracle that happens. It's the faith to believe what that word says. It's the faith to believe that he went to that cross. He knew your name. He knew what century you were going to be born in. He knew the conditions that you were going to live in. He knew all that. And you know what? He still knows. He's keeping the tab. Let him keep account. You don't keep account. You say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, I know that you've got this. I know that if I trust you, I know if I walk in your ways, you said it leads to life. But there's a way that seems right to my mind. It seems right, but it isn't right. It says it leads to death. See, that's the trust factor he's been trying to tell us all about all day. It's hard to trust because we want to trust our feelings. We want to trust our sight. We want to trust what other people say. Trust this word. Trust this cross. This cross. There is nothing you're going to go through that he didn't anticipate and say, I got it covered. I covered it. You're covered. You are covered. It's okay. It's going to be okay. Remember, as often as you do this, remember me. Take it, assimilate it into who you are, and all will be well. Okay. Father, we thank you for your body, Lord, that you gave willingly, oh God, unjustly. Oh Lord, that we might know, oh God, that you love us, that you care for us, that you hold our future, and that's why we can get up tomorrow and the next day, and that's why we can proclaim that the Lord is good and merciful and true. Father, we thank you today as we take this cracker, Lord, as your body, Lord, that we take it in faith, and we believe with all of our heart, Lord, that our soul is saved, our body is healed, that you redeem situations that have been meant to destroy us, oh God, but you said you redeem it, oh God. And not only that, you satisfy our mouth with good things, and you give us loving kindness upon our heads. Father, I thank you for this, and I take this in Jesus' name in faith. Amen.
I feel to tell you right now, some of you in your weariness, Pat, I like that. I like the respect of that. Stand to your feet, everybody. I think you need to, in your weariness, and there is no rest, and you've read everything and said everything, there might be a time where you need to prepare your own communion, maybe by yourself, and read these words. It goes a little bit deeper about examining ourselves. That might be a real key, though, down the road. And the symbolism is so strong, and it's to remind us. Yes. We're not reminding God. We're reminding ourselves to keep it in front of us. The rainbow wasn't in the sky to remind God. It wasn't meant for a t-shirt either, all right? No, it's meant to remind us of God's goodness and God's promise. This is to remind us of his goodness. It said, in the like manner, he held up the cup and blessed it. He said, this is a symbol of my blood. Of the, again, Linda said, the new covenant. Again, they are addressing things that changed as a result from the other. You notice the thread that's there? And if you'll pay attention, you're really hearing some strong things. And this is the symbolism you need right now. We receive it. We hold it up. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that was shed for me so that I might have life abundantly. The load was lifted. The burden was lifted. The requirement was lifted when you said it is finished. Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for your love for us as covenant kids. Drink healing, drink strength, drink rest in Jesus' name.